Hi, this is Jessica Marpey, and I'm your moderator this evening. I'm here with State Senator Sharif Street, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Street or his guest, press star 3 at any time on your phone's keypad. Now, let's welcome Senator Street.
It is so good to see you this evening. I'm glad to be here with you all. I want to thank everyone, all the residents who are participating in tonight's call. I'm holding this live telephone town hall where we'll be discussing the superintendent vacancy in the Philadelphia School District. I want to hear from you, know, understand what's on your mind and what's important as we go about just conducting this national search. I want you to join me this evening along with Sandra Dungey-Glenn, the chair of the Education Committee, and executive member from the Philadelphia Community of Stakeholders. Tonight, we will discuss the future vision of the Philadelphia School District so our children can receive the quality education they deserve. This format will allow you to listen in and to offer comments and recommendations from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to comment anytime, press star 3 on your phone. Now, let's welcome my guest from the Philadelphia Community of Stakeholders, Education Chair Sandra Dungey-Glenn. Why don't you say hi to everybody?
Thank you, Senator Street, and good evening to all. And let me first start by saying, Senator, thank you for hosting this town hall and for partnering with us. And I am joined this evening by my colleagues, Dawn Chavu, and colleague, and Dr. Cassandra Jones, who's an education leader in Philadelphia for over 40 years. The Philadelphia Community Stakeholders, or PCS, is a group of African-American elected officials, community and business leaders from across the city. The purpose and work of the group is to advocate for and to bring solutions to issues that affect the African-American community. For example, PCS helped Dr. Ayla Stanford and the Black Doctors Consortium bring COVID tests and vaccines to our neighborhoods. We helped community groups working to combat gun violence get more funding for their programs, and we are working with Black counselors and mental health professionals to bring more services to families. Some of you may remember participating in a teletown hall with us in the summer of 2020. When schools closed due to COVID, PCS met with over 40 families in 4 teletown halls. We heard your needs, and we went on to sponsor a community learning pod and parent resource center at Bible Way Baptist Church that gave over 50 students a safe place for virtual learning, tutoring, and behavioral health support, in addition to services for their parents. The Philadelphia Community Stakeholders does more than talk about problems. We work very hard to do our part to solve them. And that brings us to why we're here tonight. As you know, Superintendent Height announced that he's leaving at the end of this school year in June. His departure raises 2 important questions. 1, what type of person do we need as the next superintendent? And 2, just as important, if not more important, is what do we need in a public education system to prepare our children academically, socially, emotionally, mentally, and physically to be productive and successful in a 21st century society? The 2 questions go together because there's an old saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. We need to decide what we want from a public school system in order to decide what type of man or woman we need to lead it. I'm speaking from experience because I served for 9 years on the school board and then on the school reform commission, and I also served as CEO of Harambe Charter School for 3 years. I know how important it is to have a clear plan for what you want to do, to align your budget, no matter how big or small, with that plan, and then to have the right people in the right position to implement the plan. So tonight, we want to hear your thoughts on both what we need in our public schools and what we need from the next superintendent. However, it's important to remember that this job is bigger than any one person. There are over 200,000 students in district, charter, and alternative schools. 52% are Black and 86% are children of color. We need to recruit and support culturally competent, committed educators to fill current positions and also to plan for the future. There are over 200 buildings that need to be repaired or replaced. 2/3 of Philadelphia's elementary and middle grade students are below grade level in reading. math and reading proficiency is in the single digits in many of our neighborhood high schools. I suspect that if we got down to the root of the deadly violence we see in many of our neighborhoods, we'd find many young adults graduating high school ill-prepared for jobs or college who are also dealing with untreated trauma, mental and behavioral health issues. The challenges are big. The superintendent is the day-to-day leader responsible for putting a team together of experts in academics and finance and facilities and health and bringing all that together and managing them to get results. But there are other important players, the state legislature and city council who provide the funding, the mayor who plays a big role for three reasons. One, our schools rely on the city for important services. For example, crossing guards are city employees. Schools depend on police districts to coordinate safe corridors and traffic control. The city pays for many, if not most, after-school and summer programs. Two, as the leader of the city, the mayor, whoever he or she is, should be using the bully pulpit to bring universities and foundations and businesses to the table with their checkbooks and other resources to schools. Third, the mayor appoints the 9-member school board. It is the board who has the ultimate responsibility for setting the plan and budget for the district, as well as hiring and evaluating the superintendent. We will be sharing what we hear from you with all of them. This is bigger than hiring a superintendent. We all have to do a better job of ensuring our children get the quality education they need to be the future leaders in Philadelphia and beyond. So again, your input is very important. The senator is going to lead us through some questions. We're hoping that you will have some comments and also give us your best thoughts and suggestions for. We will be producing a report that's going to go to the school board, that's going to be shared with the mayor, and will be shared with other leaders so that we can make the best decisions possible for our children. With that said, Senator, I'll turn it back to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Glenn. I appreciate all of your leadership and that very, very, very comprehensive description of what's going on. So we have a few questions that we're interested in. We'd like to know, first, what improvements would you like to see implemented in our public education system here in Philadelphia? Secondly, we'd like you to share two things that you feel are going well with our public school system. And third, we're going to ask folks to share two things you'd like to see in our next superintendent.
Thank you, Senator. And as a reminder to all our callers, press *3 to submit your comments and answer these questions and get on the line. That's *3 to add commentary to the discussion. And while we wait for our callers to press *3 and get on the line, we also have a digital poll that we will be taking throughout the call. We'll be asking 5 questions and asking callers to press 1 to answer yes and 2 to answer no. Our first question for tonight is, are you happy with our public education system in Philadelphia? So that would be 1 for yes and 2 for no. And again, our digital poll question is, are you happy with our public education system in Philadelphia? That would be 1 for yes and 2 for no. And it looks like we have some callers who are getting screened right now, so we'll have some callers on the line soon. Again, if you would like to submit comments to this discussion live with the senator and his guests, press *3. Thank you to those who participated with question one of our digital poll. While we wait for our callers to prepare their commentary for the live discussion, we'll move on to poll question two of our digital poll, which is, do you have confidence in our current school board to lead our public school system? That would be one for yes and two for no. Again, do you have confidence in our current school board to lead our public school system? One for yes and two for no. Okay, and it looks like we have Grayling from Broad and Gerard. Grayling, you are live with the senator and his guest.
Okay. My number one concern is the single digit when it comes to the children being able to read. I'm so confused how anyone can come out of elementary school and not learn how to read. These children are being pushed through the system. That is crazy. Not knowing how to read. I know when I was in public school going back to the 70s, you went on from 7th grade to 12th grade. If you had problems reading, there were reading classes on every level. I'm confused with these educators. That's my concern. How are we preparing them for the future with robots and everything becoming computerized? How can they survive? That is scary. Single digits? This is something, this is principals, teachers, this is something that has to be addressed on all levels, from first grade, kindergarten, 12th grade. You can do nothing if they cannot read. They cannot get a job if they cannot read. They're going to be replaced in these fast food restaurants with robots. What are we preparing them for? That's my concern. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you for that comment. Certainly, it is, you know, one of our most fundamental. Look, the job of school districts is to teach children the fundamentals first, and that includes reading, writing, and basic arithmetic and mathematics. And so, we certainly want our children to have those fundamental skill sets, and the fact of the matter is that we need to do better at it. And one of the reasons that we're doing this poll is, and we're seeing what the characteristics that people like to see in the superintendent, is because the superintendent's job is really fundamental to everything else we do. We can provide money and resources at the state level, but if the folks who are implementing, running a day-to-day school district don't put together a system that teaches kids to the basics of education, it really is for naught. And if we're going to have a robust society, we certainly need our children to have learned the basics and read, and nothing could be more fundamental than reading. So I agree that's something we need to be focused on, and that's part of why we are engaged, because we recognize how important an education is, and reading is just is some of the most basic and fundamentally important part of an education. I don't know if anyone else has anything to add to that.
Senator, I would just add, again, this is Sandra Dungy Glenn. I would just add that everything you said I think is correct, and the caller, the participant, has every right to be that concerned and that appalled at where we are. I think if we're honest with ourselves, though, we also have to admit that, yes, it is the primarily the responsibility of the school district to prepare our children. But given where we are now, we are going to have to look at every one of our organizations, our institutions, our churches, our after-school programs, our child care centers, recreation centers, all of us have to get on board with this idea that we have to be a part of literacy, preparation, reading, getting libraries back online, understanding digital learning. It's going to take a full court press, and it's not going to be the school district by itself who are going to be able to get us out of where we are now to where we need to be. Yes, again, they have the primary responsibility, but the reason I mentioned people like the mayor and city council and other programs, we're going to have to use all those other resources and institutions to bring additional help to the table. That's the only way we're going to get to where we need to be.
Great. Certainly agree with that.
Thank you both. We have now Sharon from East Oak Lane. Sharon, you are live with the senator and his guest.
Thank you, Senator Street, and thank you so much for, as always, really bringing this conversation to the community and engaging them in the process. So I feel that the school district is missing a lot of gaps. One is lack of investment in early childhood education. And as an early childhood educator, I see firsthand the benefits of children having that access to that experience and how it impacts their readiness when it comes to kindergarten. But I think there's a deeper issue. I feel like the school district or the education that we have our black and brown children is not culturally appropriate for them. I feel that there's a lack of teachers who look like them that are reflected back to them, and I think there is a lack of a teaching of African American culture, and so there's a lack of engagement. So when you ask me what is missing from our education system and what we're looking for in a superintendent, I think that it goes a lot deeper. I think that we not only need to look for a competent superintendent, but we also need to revamp the total education system. I don't believe that we are adequately meeting the needs of the current population of children and families that we are educating. And I think that is a part of the reason why there's a lack of interest in school, there's a lack of participation in school, and there's a lack of positive outcomes. And I feel that those students are not engaged because the subject matter is not relevant to them. The teachers who are educating them are not always reflective of their culture. There's no me, there's no sense of belonging, there's no ownership in the education that they're receiving. And I think that's where we, one of the ways in which we failed our children.
Look, I think that is very comprehensive, and certainly we have to have an equally comprehensive approach to addressing those issues. We need to be able to, we need to have put together a system that addresses really all of the elements of education that you laid out, and I appreciate you for that. I appreciate you providing that feedback. And then, I think very often we understand the challenges, and what's happening is it's making sure that we get the right personnel to actually execute and follow through on those broad-based commitments. Anyone else have anything to add?
No, Senator, I think she said it very well. I agree with everything that she stated.
All right, we are going to move to our third digital poll question. Again, you will use your keypad to answer the question, should Philadelphia have an elected school board? Answer one for yes, two for no. Again, should Philadelphia have an elected school board? One for yes, two for no. And we will go back to the phone lines. We have Anna from Strawberry Mansion. Anna, you are live with the senator.
Good evening,
are you there, Anna?
I'm here now. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, you're right. I'm here now. My question actually was what y'all just talked about, the foundation. I'm trying to switch since you guys did such a wonderful job on expressing that. So I can't really find my next question. So I'm going to probably just thank you guys. I think my other part was accessibility to services. That's where it was. A while back, we had some kind of program where kids would get tutored if they were on welfare, and I believe that was something that came down from the state, some kind of Title I or IV. I'm not sure which one it was. I felt like that cut a lot of kids off that really needed those services just because their parent had some kind of small job and was not necessarily receiving services from welfare. They were excluded from those extra services that they could get from school. So how can we combat making sure we have a level playing field for the kids that need these extra resources and services through the school district?
Okay. I want to thank you for that comment. And look, I think we want the school district to provide services, and certainly want to make sure that they're doing it in a manner that's consistent with the very high but reasonable expectations that we should have for our young people. Anyone else?
I would just add to that now Philadelphia as a district is considered a Title I district. And so in theory, those services are supposed to be available citywide. Now, what goes on in individual schools, I can't pretend to say, across the district. There, in addition to that, because of COVID-19, there are I don't know the exact number, but tens of millions of additional dollars coming to the district for what they're calling, to deal with what they're calling learning loss. So again, one of the things that we as community members have to do, should be doing, is asking the question of the school board and school district, how are you allocating those dollars? How are you deciding what programs go where and what schools get them? In this instance, money should not be a problem as it relates to these supplemental programs because additional money is coming to the district to provide those services. But it goes back to something else that was raised. You have to have people who are well-trained to deliver the services, who understand how to support children around literacy and competency, how to teach to different learning styles, and that goes to professional development. So it's one thing to have the money, but again, you have to make sure that it's being spent well, and you have people, leaders, managers in the right places to support staff to deliver the programs and services.
Great, thank you. Next, we have Carla from the Omni section of Philly. Carla, you're live.
Hi, everyone. My question is, I would like to know, what is being done to ensure our children's safety? I mean, we see the violence going on in the city. We see it on the news almost, well, every night. And my daughter even asked the teacher what would happen if somebody came in with a gun, a shooter, and she was told that they would jump out the window. So I asked her. So my thing is, like, are there any type of protocols in place if that does happen? Because I didn't find that answer to be appropriate.
Yeah, I don't think jump out the window is an appropriate answer. That's unthinkably irresponsible. There are, in many schools, I would say most schools now have some protocols for trying to first prevent a person armed with a firearm from entering the building. And second, some protocols for what happens should that happen. We do have school police, and we have security protocols in the entrance and exits of the schools. That being said, we have to get our arms around the fundamental problems of violence in the communities that spills over into our schools. Even if we secure the buildings, our young people should be safe coming and going to school, in front of the schools, near the schools. That's why programs like Safe Corridor programs are important. But moreover, that's one of the reasons why we have to address some of the social determinants of violence in a broad way. That's why we got to work to reduce the amount of violence that happens in our communities, because our young people have a right to be both safe in their schools and safe coming and going to school, and safe in their communities. And it is the trauma and the tragedies that come with young people having to worry about being shot are just really tragic, but yet something that so many of us have grown up with, something we certainly need to change. So we created the Crime Prevention Caucus. I'm a chair at the state level. Started looking at some of the underlying criteria. I've talked with the district attorney about operations like GVI, Group Violence Intervention Program, to try and reduce some of the violence that happens in the communities. And I think when we do that, it'll make the communities that the schools are situated in the safer, and hopefully make the school safer. But if someone else wants to speak specifically to some of the protocols that they know of in schools, I think that might be helpful as well.
So, Senator, to answer the caller directly, yes, every school is required to have procedures to handle a number of different kinds of emergencies, whether they're talking about fire or sheltering in place, procedures for when there is violence happening outside the school, as well as procedures for if something were to occur within the school building. Not only are they to have the procedures, they're supposed to have a designated person responsible for making sure that all staff and students are trained in the procedure. So that is a requirement. It's a state requirement. It's not even just something that the school district has made up. It is a mandate, if you would. But I would like to turn this around, because what's also important to us is, if the caller is still with us, I'd like to know if you have any specific suggestions or recommendations for what you'd like to see more in the school. Is there something that is in particular that you would like to see happening in the schools that are not, or is there something that you heard of or know going on in the district that you think is a good idea that you want to make sure is continued? Because we also want to get your recommendations and suggestions.
Unfortunately, that caller has dropped, but if other callers would like to respond to that question, please press *3 to add comments to this discussion, and we will get you on the line with the senator and his guest. We do have William, though. William, you are live. Are you there, William?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Great.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Is this in regards to my original question, or is this in regards to suggestions you were asking about?
I think either would be great for the discussion.
Either. Okay. Well, as far as suggestions with safety, one of the things that I noticed in a lot of the schools that are low performing is that we lost the PAL programs, which is a different funding source. I believe that's through the police department. But those types of programs, whether it's PAL or any type of connecting to community organizations to provide neighborhood programs for our children, along with safe corridors, a lot of our, I know in Nicetown, Tioga, we try very hard to provide safe corridors. So that's where we get community volunteers, family volunteers, business volunteers even in some cases to, you know, align our corridors and allow the children to walk amongst those corridors where they can be safe. and that we can be alert on what's going on in our community and with our youth. It's very important. But those programs are also very important. They give those time frames where some of our children are latchkey children. They give them time to be around individuals to redirect their activities and things of that nature. So we have to kind of go back to that old school formula of bringing those programs, if not through the district, their public parks and playgrounds that are in the area or community service, just really connecting back to community, back to village. So that's my suggestion in regards to that. And then my questions, there were two. The first is it possible for us to get more community people on the school district's board? And then the second half of that is the school district board, is there a separate entity that deals with curriculum and methodology of curriculum? Because I noticed as a former educator in the Philadelphia Public Schools, there's always issue over the materials, especially when you're a person like myself who has some knowledge of history and anthropology and things of that nature. And when it comes across when the materials are not correct, I don't teach the academics like math and reading and stuff like that. But history is very important, especially to Black and Brown children, to get the right thing. And then they can connect the dots through the right types of history. So are those separate entities that deal with the curriculum and methodology, or is it the school district? And is it possible for there to be some type of separate body that has more of the school's demographic making the decisions on what kind of academic materials and methodology comes into the schools? Methodology meaning methodologies of teaching that come into schools. And I appreciate you, Senator Street. I appreciate you even thinking about bringing me to this conversation.
Well, look, I think it's important that we hear from you and folks like you. We need to understand your ideas. We need to hear them. They need to be integrated into what we're doing for our young people. One of the most important things we can know is, we all throw out the cliches about the sayings, the African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child, and it becomes almost cliche only because people don't truly reflect upon the meaning. And this is a part of our having a village conversation about all of our children. There is one of the African cultures, I think it's the traditional way of saying hello is to literally ask, are the children well? And it reminds people that the condition of the children really is a reflection on the condition of society. So I'm glad you're in the conversation. I appreciate your remarks and we'll certainly want to give Sandra a chance to respond as well.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you, caller, for your suggestions. To answer your first question about the school board, right now, the way it works in Philadelphia, and we are the only district that does not vote for or directly elect their Board of Education members. Right now in Philadelphia, our school board is appointed, the 9 members are appointed by the mayor, and that's how it's set up under the city charter. The mayor makes the appointment. I believe it was recently changed that city council has the right to approve, if you would, or sign off on the mayor's appointment, but they are appointed by the mayor, all 9 members. We do not have a direct election. That was one of the questions we asked, is if people thought our school board members should be elected, but right now they're appointed by the mayor. I'm going to ask Dr. Cassandra Jones, who I hope can unmute her line, to address the question around curriculum, because that's something she's worked on for a very long time as the chief academic officer previously here in Philadelphia and also in Baltimore. So I think she would be the best person to answer your question about curriculum. Dr. Jones? I'm hoping she can come off mute.
off mute?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm hoping you can hear me with laryngitis, but the question was well stated. The way the district is organized, they have the superintendent organizes the different departments, and one of these departments is in charge of curriculum, and that's from pre-K all the way up through 12th grade. And so they are responsible for coming up with a curriculum that is rigorous, that should be reflective of the children that they're teaching. The state has standards that they have to meet. There are assessments that go along the way so that you are not just teaching the children, but they have assessments that they take to make sure that they are learning. There's training that goes along with all of the curriculum that is developed. But unfortunately, what happens a lot is that a new superintendent will come in with a new curriculum and a new professional development system without really taking into account what has been in place before with the district. So what happens with curriculum is your superintendent makes recommendations. The board obviously will pass it, but he is in charge with hiring the people, making sure the professional development, he or she is in charge of hiring the people, making sure the professional development and the assessments are in place so that curriculum is seamless. Obviously, you're looking at businesses because they have to make sure that the children are prepared, you know, for what they're going to do when they graduate, as well as with the universities, making sure that our children are able to go into the universities to be successful. So it's a large piece of what the superintendent does, but that is a primary responsibility to organize his staff, his or her staff, to be able to not only develop that curriculum, but implement that curriculum and assess it, which means that you're also giving parents what they need to be able to support their children as they're going through K through 12.
Thank you, Dr. Jones.
Forgive my voice.
And don't worry, Dr. Jones, the voice may be weak, but the words spoken were powerful.
Thank you.
Great. We are going to move on to our fourth digital poll question. Again, it will be one for yes, two for no. Do you believe mental and behavioral health services should be in every school? One for yes and two for no. And then we will go to Sheila, who's on the phone. Sheila, you are live.
Hi, my name is Sheila. Thank you for setting up this meeting tonight with Senator Shreve. And one of the things I've been listening to, a lot of people who know a lot more than I do. But I remember as a child, I was victimized by my father. And that next day that I went to school, I didn't hear anything. And even though we need to hold these people accountable for what positions they hold, I think we need to take a step back to find out who's going to school. How does this child live? You can put perfect teachers there. How does he live? I work for a housing counseling service, and we take the home buyer by the hand. We know the funds that are in the city of Philadelphia, and our HUD counselors sit down with these parents to allow them to know and to teach them how to buy a home. I do hold the folks accountable who are in the city of Philadelphia, but I remember I had great teachers. But the things that were happening to me, I couldn't hear them. And that's why I work do the work I do today is because of the children that are coming into those classrooms. We got to take a step back. How do they live? Do they have enough counseling? Does the mother know anything about housing? Can she get away? Can she get away and find, you know, housing for herself? Because a child who gets up in the morning, we ate a lot of grits and butter, and it was good. And then we would go to school. But that child who slept on the floor that night and is cold, we can't start at the school board. We got to go back. We got to find out who is coming into these schools and what are the challenges that these children are facing. You got 8 years old that's filing challenges that I can't even do at 62. So that was my little comment.
Certainly want to thank you for sharing your story and speaking your truth. I think that speaks to the need for counselors in the school, and it speaks to the need for us to make sure our teachers are prepared to there's personnel in the school that can have a trauma. That understand trauma-informed education and the role it plays in a system where so many young people are experiencing so many different traumas. So we certainly need to teach the fundamentals, but as we're doing that, we have to recognize, like you said, all the things that children are bringing to school, and we recognize that our young people don't exist in a vacuum. I think that was a big part of your point. And certainly the social ills and the things that happen outside of the school that negatively impact the children will continue to impact them, you know, during the school day. The other thing, things you may not have mentioned, but things like that's part of why we have school lunches, school breakfasts at times, and children aren't there hungry because they may have home situations where there's food insecurity. But what I think we have to do is try to make sure we have a community-based but child-centered education that looks to educate the child, but also examine and provide for the child in as holistic a way of needs as possible, understanding there are some constraints that our education system has. But again, thank you for reminding of us that these young people, we have to think about their lives in the totality and they cannot compartmentalize sections of their lives because their performance and their success will not be a compartmentalized success. Their success and failure will represent the totality of their experiences. So I will yield to someone else's comments.
I just want to thank you for bringing your, again, as the senator said, your truth to the table. And I'm so sorry that there wasn't someone there when you needed it in place as a child. And the senator, I think, hit it on the head. Schools need to be the place where the whole child and even the family can come to get services and supports for whatever their needs are. That doesn't mean that the teacher is necessarily responsible for being the one and can't be the one who takes care of all those needs, but counselors and mental health support and social service, social workers. The school can be the place where all those folks have spaces to meet with families and children and provide those needs. The question is, how do we set up our system to do that? How do we make sure that the school district can work with the city, community groups, community members, and others? Those are some of the things that we are struggling with and, again, seeking your help in thinking through because what's needed is more than what we're doing now. And your story just kind of points that out very clearly. So, again, thank you for bringing that up.
Okay, and we have our final digital question of the night. Do you feel your child is safe at school? 1 for yes, 2 for no. Do you feel your child is safe at school? And I think we have time for one last caller. Sharon from Logan, you are live. Sharon, are you there?
Yes, speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I was listening to all the different conversations, and it's been a good night, you know, listening to what everyone had to say. My thing is, we were talking about the superintendent and the kind of superintendent that we needed to get after Superintendent Height leaves. I remember I have been through a lot with the School District of Philadelphia. I'm a retired teacher. I have been with the school board, without a school board, and now back with the school board, which I think is great that Philadelphia gets to have its own school board back and we're not controlled by somebody else. We have had different superintendents have did different things at different times, and some successful, some not successful. But we need somebody to come in after this superintendent leaves and give us the same stance that, because he had bonded with the parents. He had bonded with the problems that's going on in the school. He recognized that the buildings was falling apart. He recognized that the air quality wasn't good. He recognized a lot of things that a lot of superintendents never even paid any attention to over all of these years. Also, you were talking about the reading levels and the math levels in the school. This is not new. This has been here for a while. But if we don't work as a team, and I mean not just what kind of teacher you have and who's doing the teaching, but if you send a child home with homework and the parent pays it no attention, if you ask the parent to come in, it's report card time, and the parent never shows up. You never see the parent the whole school year. We have to work as a team. If you're not working with your kids, with the teacher, or with whatever program they might be in, it's not going to do any good. It had to be a team effort in order for this child to succeed. All I have to say. Thank you.
Well, is it appropriate for me to say amen? I do think it is. You know, certainly it requires a team effort, and I think much in the way of my earlier comments about a village, you know, that's another way of saying it takes a team, it's a group project, we all have to be a part of it. And so I think one thing has become very clear is that people recognize the need for, you know, a comprehensive approach and that we have a community and that we have, and it's going to take, you know, a community that schools are a part of community and young people that are impacted by lots of factors, all of which need to be addressed. And so I thank you again for speaking up and out and speaking your truth. So I will see if anyone else has a chance to would like to comment.
Senator, I just want to thank you again on behalf of the Philadelphia community stakeholders for bringing this Teletown Hall together, taking the time to bring this before your constituents because it is such an important issue. And I just want to thank all who have participated, whether you commented or not, for your input. I hopefully you participated in the survey, because there isn't anything more important that we have going on in Philadelphia than figuring out how to do education better for our children. And it is true that the future of the city depends on it. We say that all the time. It is more than just a saying. So it requires a lot of hard work, though, that doesn't stop when the next person is hired. And I think, you know, what I would just ask is that each of us figure out where he or she, where we can fit in to make a difference. But I just want to thank you all for the time you've taken to give us your input. We are going to be hosting 3 more of these Teletown Halls and putting together, again, a report from your input with your suggestions, your comments that we will be sharing with those who are making the decisions and also with those who are in leadership with the city beyond just the superintendent, the mayor, our city council members, our legislature about what you're saying is important here in Philadelphia. So thank you again.
Great. Thank you, Sharon. And echoing what you were saying, we just wanted to thank everybody for joining us tonight. If you did have commentary or a question that you wanted to submit and you did not get to speak to the senator tonight, you can visit his website at senatorsharifstreet.com/survey to submit your questions or comments. Again, that's senatorsharifstreet.com/survey. And there's also an option to stay on the line when the call is over and leave a voicemail. So if you do have a question or comment that you would like to get to the senator or Sandra, please submit it through the website or the voicemail, and we will get to hear from you and potentially get back to you. I'll pass it to the senator for any closing remarks.
Well, look, I'm glad that people were able to tune in. I'm glad we're able to get a cross-section of folks to have a dialogue with a cross-section of people from across the district. And many others, hundreds of others, are able to participate in the in the online survey questions. Look, this is neither the beginning or the end of this conversation, but it's an important step. There was a lot of talk tonight about community and the need for us to come together as a community. That's why I'm glad to be working with the Philadelphia community of stakeholders, which brings stakeholders who aren't just elected officials, but education experts, like the ones who joined me on the call tonight, and people from every walk of life who have distinguished themselves in terms of having some leadership role or expertise that could be helpful. Those folks are helping us engage the broader community, and that was one of the things that purposes of this telephone town hall. And so I'm glad people are engaged. I mean, you know, it is written in the state constitution that the Commonwealth has an obligation to provide a thorough and efficient education to each of our young people. But the real meaning of that, and what is thorough and what is efficient and how should that look, ultimately has to be reflective of the values of our community. And it has to be, and then once we have values, it has to be executed in a way that creates real opportunity for our young people. And that is much easier said than done. I respect the challenge that the next superintendent's going to have, but at a bare minimum, we need to be able to select someone who's the best for the job and who we can feel confident, have some confidence in, that person is committed and qualified to help lead the task of educating our young people. Again, I thank everyone who participated, I yield.
Thank you to everyone for participating in Senator Sharif Streets' live telephone town hall. You have been a great audience. Have a wonderful night.